Hebrews 4, and we will be focusing our attention on verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing now upon the preaching and teaching of your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and that you would help us to make practical application of your truth to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you know this chorus, sing it along with me. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. Now, if you grew up in church going to Sunday school, I'm sure you remember that song from your childhood. As a matter of fact, we use it here at Community Christian School every day. When we do our opening exercises, we pledge allegiance to the American flag and we sing, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. We do our pledge to the Christian flag and we sing, Onward, Christian Soldiers. And then we pledge our allegiance to the Bible and we sing the B-I-B-L-E every single day of the week. And I don't know about you, but I don't think I can remember a single VBS that I attended as a kid where we did not sing the B-I-B-L-E. It just brings back so many great memories. But it also contains a great truth. As Baptists, we have proudly declared that we are people of the book. People of the book. We do not base our beliefs on traditions. We do not base our beliefs on feelings and emotions. We base our beliefs on the Word of God. We claim that we are people of the book. But the question is, are we really? Do we really understand this book? Do we really love what it says to us about our God? Is it part of our daily living? Or is it shelved until Sunday when we dust it off for church time? Well, if we're going to claim to be people of the book, then the Word of God must, and I emphasize, must be a part of our lives every day. This book is God's love letter to us. And it's the place where we encounter Him and learn to love Him back. And if we neglect this book, we do so to our own spiritual detriment. Now, the writer of Hebrews, whom I happen to believe was the Apostle Paul, understood the nature of the Word of God. And to people who were in danger of walking away from the truth, Paul pointed out the power of the Word of God to bring them to where they ought to be. And so this morning, let's open ourselves to the powerful Word of God, and let's do so by examining and receiving the truths of this text of Scripture. And we'll look at three things very quickly this morning. First of all, the fact that the Word of God is alive. That's what the word quick means when it says it's quick and powerful. The Word of God is alive. The Apostle Paul understood that the words spoken by God were more than just ideas to ponder. God spoke through the prophets, then later through His Son, and then through the apostles. and these words had life and power because they are the words of God. This book is the voice of God to mankind. Now, the truth is, much of what we read and think about, that is, as far as worldly things are concerned, will be dead and gone, so to speak, before very long. For instance, it has been pointed out that the philosopher Plato was one of the greatest thinkers of all time. But in reality, there is no need for a daily study of Plato's life or thought for the average person. But that is not so with the Word of God. It is to be studied and read daily because it is God's instruction manual to us for daily living and for sound doctrine. The Bible commentator William Barclay once wrote this. He said, "The great fact about the Word of God is that it is a living issue for all men of all times. Other things may pass quietly into oblivion. Other things may acquire an academic or antiquarian interest. But the Word of God is something that every man must face. It offers something he must accept or reject." And again, that's because this is a living book. And the reason the Bible is a living book is because in its pages, people encounter the living God. One time, a little girl's mother was startled to find her 8-year-old daughter going through her new Bible that she had gotten from Sunday school and circling the word God every time it appeared on the page. Now, her first reaction was to scold her for defacing her Bible. But instead, she quietly asked, "Why are you doing that?" And the little girl's very matter-of-fact answer was, "So that I will know where to find God when I need him." Well, of course, the truth is God is all around us. We know that he is omnipresent, but it is in his word that we find his message to us. And by the way, in case you're not familiar with it, when we talk about the Bible being inspired, as in 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Greek word in the original that makes up the word inspiration is a combination of two Greek words, theos, which is God, and neustos, which is breath. And so when it says the Bible is the inspired word of God, the word inspiration means God breathed. And that's what makes this a living book. It's just like when God created Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. God breathed on Adam and he received life. And God has breathed on this book, and it is alive. And that makes it different than any other book in the entire world. The Word of God is living. It is alive. Now, the second thing that we see here in this passage is not only that the Word of God is living, but secondly, the Word of God is effective. Effective. The Apostle Paul wanted to express that the word is effective in the lives of God's children. He said it's powerful, powerful. Paul understood the principle that God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my... Let me read that again. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. See, whenever the Bible is taken seriously, changes in heart and even changes in society begin to take place. For instance, the story has been told of the South Seas island native who proudly displayed his Bible to a GI during World War II. And that soldier looked at that native and looked at that Bible and he said, we've outgrown that sort of thing. And with that, the native smiled back and he said, it's a good thing we have not outgrown it, because if it were not for this book, you would have been our supper by now. The Bible is effective. The Bible is powerful. The Bible has the ability to change people's lives. I'm sure you've heard the name C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was an agnostic who wanted to disprove Christianity. And he did so by going to the Bible and trying to prove it to be faulty. But instead of finding the errors that would discredit the Christian faith, he found the living God and became an ardent defender of the faith. You see, Jesus called the Word of God, seed that is scattered upon the hearts of human beings everywhere. And he explained that if the heart is hardened to receiving the seed, it will not benefit. But if our hearts are open to hearing the word and open to receiving the seed, it will change us forever. Someone has said this: some books inform, other books reform, but only the Bible can transform. And it can. It has the ability to change our lives. It is effective. It is powerful. And then let me give you the third one here. And that is that the Word of God is penetrating. Paul says the Word of God was sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Paul was basically declaring that God's word penetrates to the deepest part of our lives. Nothing is hidden from the word of God. We cannot escape the troubling that scripture brings to us, even if we're far away from God. The Word of God has the ability to penetrate and to disturb even the most rebellious heart. Mark Twain, who was a self-proclaimed infidel, understood the power of the Word of God better than some believers. He wrote this. He wrote, most people are bothered by those passages in Scripture which they cannot understand. But as for me, I always notice that the passages of Scripture which trouble me most are those which I do understand. Amen. Amen to that. You know, and I believe this is the reason why so few people, believers included, actually read the scriptures, and why we are suffering from biblical illiteracy today. It's because if people read the Word of God, and I mean really read it, they will encounter God, and changes will be made in their lives. The way it works is the scriptures speak to our hearts, and the Spirit of God uses it to let us know that we must turn our hearts to God. But I also believe that the scriptures penetrate not only the heart of the rebellious, but they also penetrate the hearts of believers as we seek to follow the Lord. Think about it. Why is it that we go to the scriptures when we're faced with the death of a loved one? Why do we go to the scriptures when we're discouraged to the point of giving up on life? Why do we go to the Scriptures when we need direction for a decision that needs to be made? It's because the Scriptures penetrate our lives. The Scriptures touch us in our time of need. So the Bible is alive, the Bible is effective, and the Bible penetrates. Now here's the important question. Real simple. The question is, so what? Yeah, the Bible's alive. It's effective. It penetrates. But so what? What difference does it make? Well, what if we never encounter God in the Word? What if we never open our hearts to His love letter? Well, here's the answer. If we reject and neglect the Word of God, we must realize that the God of the Scriptures will one day expose our hearts. He will one day lay bare all our deep, dark secrets. He will one day pass final sentence on the judgment that has already occurred when we rejected the gospel, the good news, His revelation of His Son through the Word of God. Paul is certain that nothing can be hidden from the God of the Word. And so we must open our hearts to His Word, and open our hearts to the good news of Jesus Christ. Our hearts, we need to open them to the salvation that is offered to us through faith in Christ. We need to open our hearts to the God whose Word is alive and whose Word is effective and has the ability to change our life. The God whose Word penetrates our hearts. And if you have never opened your heart to Christ and to His Word, then today is your day. Today is your day. The Word tells us how He shed His blood and died on an old rugged cross for our sins. And the Word tells us how He rose again the third day so we could have eternal life. And the Word tells us that we must turn from our sins and we must call out to Christ and receive Him as our Savior and Lord. And if you have never done that before, that is your greatest need. That is your greatest need. And then for those of you who are believers, those of you who know Christ, I want to invite you to join me in a commitment that we will truly be people of the book, not in name only, but that we will truly commit ourselves to seeking its truth, to finding it a growing part of our daily lives. I challenge you to open your heart to the living, powerful, penetrating Word of the living God every single day. Let's determine this morning that we are really going to be people of the book. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God this morning, for this opportunity to look into the Scriptures. And Lord, I know that this message was quick, but this message was pointed. And I pray, Father, that if there's somebody here this morning that does not know Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day when they would receive Him by faith and come to know this One, whom to know is life eternal. Don't let anybody leave this building today, Lord, without being absolutely sure that they know Christ, that their sins are forgiven, and that they are on their way to heaven. And then for those of us who do know You, Lord, help us to recommit ourselves to being good students of Your Word so that You can guide us and direct us in our lives and so that we can be the kind of Christian that You would have us to be, a Christian that shines bright in this very dark world. And so help us, Lord, to be people of this book. Help us to love the Word of God. Help us to be in it every single day. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. With all of the handbell stuff up here, I'm not going to give any kind of invitation to come forward.